All prophets say, are those who know equal to those who do not know?
The Immortals, a link to the life and works of Persian and Muslim dignitaries.
Fortunate is he who remembers Allah abundantly. Worldly distractions cannot mildly sway his thoughts of Allah and Judgment Day.
In his name, we start another edition of the program, The Immortals, coming to you from the Call of Islam radio station, Holy City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. In this program, we are mainly concerned with the life and works of the outstanding Persian as well as Muslim, specifically Shiite scholars in different fields of Islam from around the world. The expert, as usual, invited to this program is Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, who is currently a faculty member of University of Qom, specialized in the field of Quranic studies, religious literature, specifically Ashura literature in English language. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, for accepting our invitation to the studio of the Call of Islam radio station.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Today, we want Dr. Fakhr Rouhani to talk about Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi, one of the greatest scholars, not only in the field of religious studies, but we can call him a polymath in different fields of studies. So we can say that all the scholars we have discussed up to now were polymath, okay? Because we can say in the life and in the time and in the era they lived, science and knowledge was not limited only to one. And also the scholars were not, we can say, monodimensional, they were multidimensional scholars. Or polymath. We can say that about the life of Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi, let's have a little bit a summary of his hometown and his birth, and after that we'll get to the other details of his life. Okay, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani?
Okay.
Thank you very much. They say that the father of Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi, that is Sheikh Majiuddin Muhammad ibn Hassan, who was one of the greatest scholars of the holy city of Qom, in fact, lived in Jahrud, one of the, we can say, suburban villages of the Qom province. And he was very much interested in paying homage and paying visit to the holy tomb of Imam Riza alayhi salam in Mashhad. And after just getting back, his wife gets, got sick. And because of that, he was accommodated in one of the neighbors of the city of Tus. After some time, the people of that neighborhood invited him to just be the leader and be the congregational prayer, imam, and also teach in the seminary over there. And it was, they said it was the dawn, and it was the morning of Jamadi al-Awwal 11th, the year 597, that true face and true complexion of wisdom and mathematics in the 7th century was born. It is Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi. You know, they say that the Sheikh Majiuddin Muhammad ibn Hassan consulted the Holy Quran in order to select a nice name for his son, and which was his, in fact, we can say, third child. He chose the name Muhammad, but after that, his agonym was changed to, was called as Abu Ja'far, and he was known by titles as Nasiruddin, Muhaqqiq, Tusi, Ustad al-Bashar, and Khwaja. So, let's talk a little bit, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, about the early education of Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi, how the early education in the childhood of Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi was passed.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi was born in the Tus neighborhood of Mashhad, he attended schools, the local schools over there, and learned the basics of knowledge over there, including Quran recitation, basics of Arabic literature and Arabic grammar, some nuggets of knowledge regarding prosody, rhetoric, and so on.
Okay.
All centered around the Holy Quran. His mother was an erudite lady, mm-hmm. and taught him and helped him in reading the Holy Quran as well as learning how to read and write the Persian language.
That's right.
State language. After that, at the suggestion of his father, Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi attended the lectures of his uncle, his mother's brother, called Nuruddin Ali ibn Muhammad Shi'i, who was a prominent figure in mathematics, in theology, in logic, and in that sort of thing. Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi was a prodigy, so that after just a very short while, his uncle said that whatever he knew, he taught all of them to Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi. So it would be much better for Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi to attend the lectures of other scholars and to learn more. At the city of Tus, now one of the neighborhoods of the city of Mashhad, Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi was credited with dressing the gown of the ulama, a clerical
the
dress.
The holy gown of the ulama, that's right.
And since his professor, name was Nasiruddin Abdullah ibn Hamza, his professor selected his own epithet and his own designation as his student. And from that time on, he was called Nasiruddin Tusi. According to the suggestion of his professors at Tus, it was time for his taking a trip, a scholastic trip, to Neishabur. Mm-hmm. However, a short while before his departure, he lost his father. His father died. But at the same time, Nasiruddin Tusi decided to go to Neishabur to learn more. At Neishabur, he went to Sirajiyya Madrasa and attended the lectures of a greater renowned and important scholar in fiqh and in principles of fiqh, known as Sirajuddin Qamari. After that, he attended the lectures of Fariduddin Damad Neishaburi, who was a disciple of Imam Fakhr al-Razi, Muhammad Fakhruddin al-Razi. And before Fariduddin Damad Neishaburi, he studied and took lessons in in Avicenna's book Al-Isharat, which is a philosophical book. Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi's professors and mentors noticed his talent, admirable talent, and suggested him to go to other cities, to learn more, to receive more knowledge, to learn more and to receive a further education. I should like to say that Fariduddin suggested Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi to learn Avicenna's canon of medical sciences, Al-Qanun Fatib, before Qutbuddin Misri Shafi'i, who was a renowned physician over there. More importantly, Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi is credited with attending the lessons and lectures of the great mystic Attar Neishaburi.
Also a poet.
Yes, who was a poet as well. After that, Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi went to the city of Ray, now just very close to Tehran, and there he encountered Burhanuddin Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Ali al-Hamdani al-Ghazwini. After Ray, he decided to go to the city of Isfahan, because Isfahan was a center of higher education in Islamic sciences. However, on the way to Isfahan, he made friends with another scholar known as Maysam ibn Ali ibn Maysam al-Bahrani, who invited him to go to Qom instead of Isfahan.
Right.
So he directed, he made a change in his itinerary, and instead of going to Isfahan, he decided to go to the city of Qom and spend some time over there in order to learn more. And at the city of Qom, he attended the lectures of Abu Sa'adat As'ad ibn Abdul Qadir ibn As'ad al-Isfahani and took some lessons from this scholar. After Qom, he went to Isfahan. He never forgot to go to Isfahan to learn more. He went to Isfahan, and from Isfahan he went to Iraq, mm-hmm. to Baghdad. Okay, in Baghdad he attended the lectures of fiqh offered by Mu'inuddin Salim ibn Badran Misri Mazani, who was a disciple of Ibn Idris al-Hilli. Okay. One point which is very important is that Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi used to attend the lectures of Allama al-Hilli in fiqh, and Allama al-Hilli, his teacher, used to attend the lectures of his disciple, his student, yes, in philosophy.
Okay.
Yes.
Very nice.
Kamaluddin Musili, who was a resident of the city of Mosul, in northern Iraq, mm-hmm. Was a person who taught Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi advanced topics in astronomy. Mm-hmm. So it was in this way that little by little Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi changed into a polymath.
That's right. You know, the time and the era in which Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi lived, when he was passing the time in Iraq, Iran was incessantly under the, we can say, invasions of the Mughal Empire.
Yes.
And they say that even in the city of Neishabur, in which some we can say times were passed by, yes. Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi, over there about 1 million and 748,000 people were killed over there under the invasions of the Mughal Empire. Of course, this is really sad for the Iranian people. Dr. Fakhrani, let's have the services and also the specialized fields of studies and the works and compilations of Khaja Nasiruddin to see after taking a break, okay?
Okay, sure.
Thank you very much. Okay, taking a break, listen to a religious song. I'm back in a minute.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. Created by the Master, Allah created you. You are very special, exclusively designed. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine. You are very special, there's only one of you. You are very special, and remember I love you. You were made by Allah, unique in all your ways. You were made by Allah to praise Him all your days.
Welcome back to your audience from around the world, listening to the program The Immortals from the Call of Islam radio station, Holy City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi is the greatest scholar we are mainly concerned with in this session. Okay, Dr. Fakhrani, the services Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi gave to the Iranian nation, in fact, in order to stop more invasions into the Iranian land and into the Iranian, we can say, nation, is really outstanding throughout the history. Let's talk a little bit about this. They call him as the angel or the savior, or Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi as the real savior of the Iranian nation. Why is it so?
Yes. Actually, at the end of the Abbasid dynasty, we find that the lands in the Islamic Empire were invaded very savagely by the Mughal invaders. So they reached Baghdad, and they looted everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, the final Abbasid rulers seized the opportunity and killed quite a lot of Muslims of Baghdad, including quite large number of Shiite populations of Baghdad. Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi used to live in Baghdad, as it was the seat of the Islamic Empire over there, and no doubt the greatest and the most prominent city over there. However, Hulagu, who was the Mughal invader and ruler, noticed the unique academic and the religious status of Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi. So he seized the opportunity of benefiting from the advice of Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi. Well, one of the several religious academic services rendered by the late Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi was that he advised Hulagu, to encourage scholars to write books, to compile books, and he instructed Hulagu, not to set the great library of Alamut Castle on a blaze, and saving the life of such scholars like Ibn Abil Hadid, who was a great explicator of Nahj al-Balagha, and his brother Muwaffaq ad-Dawla, who were, without any reason, without any sound reason, were confined by the Mughal, rulers. And he made another contribution so that the Mughals, who were just some, nomad invaders, turned into Islam. They accepted the religion of Islam and became Muslims. And in consequence, Islam was announced as the official and state religion of Iran and the Iranian Empire. And Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi instructed the Mughals not to invade other Muslim lands and other Islamic territories. And more importantly, quite academically and scientifically, Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi established the one of the most important observatories in all Muslim lands at the city of Maraghe in northwest Iran. And besides this, observatory, he made a very important and prominent academy concerned with astronomy and the related sciences just beside that observatory.
That's right. Thank you very much. That's right. I can say the right and the virtuous behavior of Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi certainly attracted those nomads as Mughal empires, and in fact, educating and nurturing them was very difficult, but Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi was able to do that. Let's get to some of the pupils of the most important. Just enumerate them one by one for us, Dr. Fakhrani.
Okay. Yes. One of them was Jamaluddin Hasan ibn Yusuf al-Hilli, who explicated some of the books earlier compiled and penned by Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi. Kamaluddin Meysam ibn Ali ibn Meysam Bahrani, who was a theologian, mathematician, and faqih. And this person, Kamaluddin Meysam, penned an explication on Nahj al-Balagha. Another pupil of Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi was Muhammad ibn Mas'ud ibn Muslih al-Shirazi, generally known as Qutbuddin Shirazi, who was one of the most prominent student and disciple of Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi, and was a doctor, was a physician. In addition to being a physician, he was also a philosopher and an astronomer. Another person was Kamaluddin Abdul Razak Shaybani Baghdadi. He was a Hanbalite Sunni, and he's most famous as Ibn al-Fawati. He was a history scholar. Another one was Sayyid Ruknuddin Astrabadi, who explicated some other works of Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi. Just to mention the names of some other disciples who studied before Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi, I should like to mention the names of Ibrahim Hamawi Juwaini, Asiruddin Omani, Majduddin Tusi, and Majduddin Maraghi.
Very good. Referring to being polymath of Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi, I would like to say that the specialized fields of studies he was really, we can say, he had a specialty in were mathematics, philosophy, theology, ethics, and literature, okay?
Yes.
Completely from different fields of studies. And you know the book Akhlaq Nasiri or Nasiri's, we can say, ethics is one of the greatest,
yes,
we can say, literary works and literary masterpieces produced and compiled by Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi. Also, he was very, we can say, erudite in the Arabic language. So let's get to the important works. Okay, the Tafakhani, regarding these, we can say various fields of studies. Now let's get to the works of Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi. They say that about 190 books and treatises were produced by Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi. Would you enumerate some of the outstanding ones?
Yes, some of them are as for Tajrid al-Aqaid, which is theological masterpiece of Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi. Another one is Sharh Isharat, I mean a philosophical treatise on Isharat of Avicenna, Akhlaq al-Nasiri in ethics, Awsaf al-Ashraf, Tahrir Oglidos in geometry, Tahrir al-Majesty, again in geometry, Asas al-Iqtibas, Zij il-Khani in astronomy, Isbat al-Jawahir, Isbat al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, which is a religio-theological treatise, Ashkal al-Kuraviyya, okay, in geometry, in global shape geometry, Sharh Usul Kafi, a treatise in the basic points in medicine, and Tajrid al Hindase, which is a book in some basic assumptions in geometry.
Yes, thank
and
you very
several
much.
Other works.
Thank you very much.
Welcome,
Dr. Fakhrani. Because Imam Fakhrazi was very much scrutinizing and criticizing the ideas of Avicenna, and in fact, somehow nobody could answer the doubts posed by Imam Fakhrazi's on the Avicenna. They say that Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi was the first one who answered him in a very, we can say, correct way, and with writing a book, an explication on Isharat by Avicenna, he was he answered all the doubts posed on the book of this great scholar. Now let's get to the demise, Dr. Fakhrohani. They say that demise day, or the day in which Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi passed away, was Ziqadeh 18th, the year 673 Hijra, and it was the city of Baghdad. And one of the companions at the time when he was in the deathbed tell him that you better write in your last will of testament that they bury you by the tomb of Imam Ali. And he said that, let me just respect the tomb of Imam Kazem alayhi salam in here and be buried over here. He had also three children, three sons. Sadruddin Ali was the oldest one. He was also a master in philosophy, geometry, mathematics. Asiluddin Hassan, another one, and also Fakhruddin Muhammad was in charge of, we can say, the endowment or the awqaf affairs in the Islamic countries on that time. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrani, for a nice elaboration on the life and works of Khwaja Nasiruddin Tusi. And thank you very much, dear audience, for listening to the program The Immortals, coming to you from the Call of Islam radio station. Till next program, check out our website at www.cuiradio.com. Have a nice time and goodbye.
Once I was drowning in my fears, and the twinkle in my eye disappeared, and I had no way to look on. My horizon seemed to have gone, and my whole life seemed empty and bleak. Each day and night, the answers I seek. But when the darkness seemed so strong, and I couldn't go on, to the sky I raised my hands, making right what was so wrong. I found the strength to carry on up to heaven where I belong. life there are lessons to be learned. With steadfastness, paradise is earned. And if all hope seems to be gone, just hold on till after the storm. And if you ask, what purpose have I? Why am I here? And why do I cry? And when the darkness seems so strong, and you just can't go on, pray for your helping hand. You'll see the sun will rise again. You'll find the strength to carry on. Up to heaven where you belong. 'Cause life is but a journey for us all. We cry, we laugh, we run, sometimes we fall. But through it all, always recall, God never gives a burden to toll. When the darkness seems so strong, and I can't go on, to the sky I raise my hands, making right what is so wrong. I find the strength to carry on up to heaven where I belong.